This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Let's dive into some baseball right here. What we still don't know about the Rangers going into 2025 and beyond. And I feel like, based on our conversation with Chris Young, that's kind of why I've been thinking about this a little bit. The category is probably pretty big because so much of it feels like, not all, but a lot of it feels like it's dependent on the budget. And Chris Young said as much in terms of like Eovaldi, in terms of Yates, Robertson, like so much of it is dependent around the budget. So we can start with that. I'm sure a lot of this will pivot one way or another once they find out what their budget is for next season.
So I need to look this up. Maybe you can look it up as I'm talking here. Is from what I understand is the Rangers have to lower their salary from what it was this year to get under a certain threshold. Because if they don't, they would be paying that for a third or fourth straight year, and then the tax goes up to like 50%, and there's no way the Rangers are doing that. And then you also possibly lose draft picks or international money to sign amateur players, so to sign your Sebastian Walcott. Or if you wanted to sign a Japanese player that is a professional over there, like a major leaguer over there, I'm going to use the example of Shohei. It's a bad example, but you would have less money because you've gone over that number for 3 to 4 consecutive years. So I think they have to stay under that certain threshold, and they are, I'm pretty sure the max budget will be that. And then come trade deadline time, they will not go over that number, or they really don't want to go over that number.
So I'm going to need to dive a little further into this, because right now all I'm seeing on their payroll for next year is $170.8 million. Look, that's a lot of money. I shouldn't say only. And MLB.com says the competitive balance tax starts next year at $237 million. So you'd be a ways off. For the record, though, if you've done this for 3 or more years, you get taxed 50% of that. So, ouch, that is a lot.
So to the budget, they will not go over that number. Okay. They are not going to be a 50% taxpayer at the end of 2025 or the beginning of 2026. However it works out, they have to stay under a threshold.
And I guess this is pretty high because obviously this doesn't include a variety of different things, and there are other players that you want to bring back. So already being at 170, that can get pretty high pretty quick. DeGrom, of course, leads the way, and then Seager and Simeon.
Yeah, so
that's $100 million just about right there, just those three.
Yeah, those three guys equal $100 million. 40, 32.5, and $26 million are their numbers.
Yep.
Okay, so where are we going?
All right.
Obviously, budget.
Budget, but I'm going to ask you this, because we've talked about this a lot off-air as well, and Alec, if you have thoughts about this, I'd love to hear it as well. How healthy can Josh Young and Evan Carter be? I appreciated Chris Young's answer very much on that, where he's like, look, I understand why you're asking that question. Our job is to have a plan either way. But how healthy can those two? If I said both of those guys can play 120 games or more apiece next year, what say y'all?
I hate saying this, but I'll take 120 from both of them, and they're missing 42 games, whether through rest or through injury. If I get 240 games
I feel like
from those two
Absolutely.
Guys, I will be ecstatic. I will tell you this, Alec, before you answer, I'll throw Corey Seager in there. If I can get 120 games from Corey Seager healthy, I'll take that too, because he scares me to death with his injury history with the Dodgers and with the Rangers.
I'm right there with you, Mike. Exactly that. I hate to say it, but if we do get that, then I think you are a winning team again, like Chris Young promised with you guys earlier this week that he's going to bring back a winning team next year. You need to get those guys available, and it's the great cliche that the other ownership group that runs a football team here loves to say, that availability is the best ability. Sure. And when it comes to a 162-game season, I think that's even more the truth in this case. And with these guys being so young and so talented, it's really scary to see them unavailable this much so early. So I don't even think it's a 2025 thing when I think about it. I think it's a 2025 and beyond.
And beyond.
If you get that 120-ish games out of them, then I think you're set up well for 26, 27. And then you start talking about their arbitration years, years and years down the road. I think you're feeling a lot better about those prospects of trying to keep them long-term, because you know what you're going to get with them, but right now they haven't shown you that, so that's what makes it worrisome for me, is the long-term idea.
Do y'all think Adolis, Lowe, Leody, and Heim will all be back? Or if not, how would you break that down?
I think Adolis is back, because at $9 million, he had his worst year of his career. And at the end, and I know this is kind of making an excuse, because you have to take everything into this, because his OPS was bad, his batting average was bad, but he ended up with 25 home runs and over 80 RBIs. How, you've seen the free agent pool, we looked at it the other day, off the air.
Not the most
captivating. To find 25 homers and 80 RBIs, even though the batting average wasn't up to par, the on-base percentage and the slugging were not up to par, I have to pay close to $20 million for 25-plus home runs and 80-plus RBIs. That's in a bad year. If he just gets back to what we consider an average year, it'll be close to 30 home runs and close to 100 RBIs. I have to keep that at approximately $9 million. So he's on the team. I do think, you look at Nathaniel Lowe versus American League first baseman, he was top five in almost every major category.
It sounded like in that end of the season presser that they were like, Nate Lowe's doing just fine.
I think Nate Lowe stays. So those are my two that stay. I do think that they will. I don't know if they're going to offer arbitration to Leody Taveras or not, but I don't think he's going to be on the team, because I'll lay this out as clear as I can. Evan Carter struggles against left-handed pitchers. You know who else struggles against left-handed pitchers at the same rate? Leody Taveras. Even though he's a switch hitter, he was a 190 hitter from the right side this year. So even though he batted like, I don't know, 220-something, he was like 236, 237 off of right-handed pitchers. My issue is, if I have to platoon Evan Carter, which I do think there's a debate right now in the Rangers organization, Evan Carter comes back and he's healthy, how much do we play him against left-handed pitchers? How many times do we have to pinch hit for him in the seventh inning, because it's a big situation and we need a right-handed hitter to come up because they put in a left-handed pitcher, and we can either move Wyatt Langford to center, or we can have a backup guy that can play center field too to take Evan Carter's spot. Leody can't be the fourth outfielder.
Yeah.
It's impossible for him to do it, because he is subpar against left-handed pitching. So I think that they are going to allow him to test the market. He made $2.5 million. He's arbitration eligible. I do think Leody, I just don't think he'll be back on the team, and that's my reasoning why. And I do think they are going to look at bringing back Carson Kelly. And then if they can't figure out a way to trade Jonah Heim for something else, then I think he would be back. But I think they might look at another catcher to pair up with Carson Kelly as a 50-50 situation.
I'm going to circle back around to the offense in just a second. My question here, Will Jack Leiter make and stay in the 2025 rotation? And what I mean by that is, will he make it at some point? And when he does, will he stay there? I'm not saying he's going to make 33 starts. Maybe he gets injured, but will he be in there when he is healthy making starts for this team?
He will start next year for the Texas Rangers. Will he be on the opening day roster? I lean to no.
Okay.
Because if I just start doing the math, we've heard Chris Young. He desperately and the Rangers desperately want back Eovaldi. Yes. So let's just put him on the team right here for fun. Jacob DeGrom's healthy.
Yep.
Nathan Eovaldi's healthy.
Yep.
Cody Bradford's healthy.
Yep.
This is a if, but Tyler Mahle's healthy. You still have John Gray at $13 million. I haven't even included Kamar Rocker. I haven't included Dane Dunning yet.
He's not going to start for this.
I don't think so either, but you know, I look at Jack Leiter and I think he's going to be a depth piece that starts off in AAA, keeps getting better, and he will be used out of your bullpen and at times in your rotation.
All right. Now, I know John Gray is a more complicated piece of this, but let's say he does move on. This question is for both of y'all. How comfortable then do you feel if I say Cody Bradford and Kamar Rocker are in the rotation? How comfortable do we feel with that?
I like it.
Okay.
Financially, you do have to do stuff like this.
Fair.
Bradford will cost you less than $1 million next year, and Kamar Rocker will be at league minimum. So now you have two pitchers in your rotation. This is what has to happen for the Rangers. And it's not, they have to be good too. Bradford was good when he pitched this year. He had a really tough start in Arizona, and then his next start was his best start of his year after that bad start. That showed me a lot. Rocker is a growing pitcher. You're going to have to watch his innings. Remember, for 3 years, he's thrown about 70 innings total in the last 3 years.
Right.
You're going to have to really watch his innings. You probably don't want him over 130 innings this upcoming year. You're probably going to want to hold him between 110 and 130 max, somewhere in that range. So that means you're going to have to skip him some starts. You're going to have to put him on the injured list and just skip him for two or three starts to keep his arm healthy, which means Jack Leiter's, whether it's a Teodo, whether it's somebody else. I will say this too. The Rangers really want the Japanese pitcher they've been scouting. Whether they get him or not, I don't know.
Yeah.
But they would really like him. And if they do, they will go to a six-man rotation. We're not even mentioning Andrew Heaney. I do think right now, John Gray and Jonah Heim will possibly be used to improve the team in different areas. If John Gray is back, I know I just mentioned him as possibly being part of the rotation at 13. He's guaranteed $13 million next year. I think that they would move him to the bullpen. If everybody's healthy, Rocker and Bradford starters,
I'd agree.
Along with DeGrom, Eovaldi, and Mahle, I think that they would tell John Gray, with your slider and your high 90s fastball, you're going to be used in different ways.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Out of our bullpen somewhere, sometimes 2-3 innings, sometimes pitching the eighth inning. And so I think that's how they'd use John Gray, but I think more likely because the salary's so high, and it's not crazy. He's a value to other teams. You use John Gray and you use Jonah Heim and possibly even Leody. You use those guys that are under contract or you have control over them to then use to get bullpen pieces, use to get a backup catcher, use to get that outfielder that's a right-handed hitter.
Now, Alec, let me ask you about the offense to start, and then I want to kick it around. Will the offense actually bounce back? Because so much of this feels like it's predicated on that. And so I wanted to point out the Rangers went from the third best OPS last year to 23rd this year at 686. That is the biggest year-over-year drop in OPS in Rangers history. So it's probably really hard to plan for, hey, most of our players, except for Josh Smith, had the worst season right after they had maybe some of the best seasons of their career. Alec, how confident are you that this offense can bounce back like we're all hoping they can?
It is tough to just say, hey, career worst year, it's not going to happen again. But I do think I'm going to be that guy with a lot of these players. And a couple things that Mike touched on already that I think will kind of help this scenario come to life. Because my answer is yes, I do think that the offense will be better and it will be a lot more sustained. I think it's going to be a lot more consistent. I think a big piece of that is going to be bringing back Carson Kelly. And I do think that having him on a true 50-50 split, if not getting most of the reps as your starting catcher, I think that's going to play a big piece because Jonah Heim, he's the one player that I don't know if he's going to rebound from that career worst season because that was the lowest of lows for him.
Yeah.
Outside of that, you talked about Nathaniel Lowe and the Rangers seemed in that end of the season presser to be like, yeah, he's fine. He's doing everything he needs to. And at the end of the season, he absolutely checked every box. And I think he's going to have that chance to continue to do that and to show that. Outside of that, I think everybody's shown enough. I think Josh Smith has shown when somebody goes down that he can be a consistent on-base guy. I really like what Wyatt Langford did the last 2 months of the season. And you're going to hopefully get a healthy Evan Carter back that's going to get reps and he's going to get kind of force-fed some at-bats against lefties. And maybe he does start to adapt and start to learn. So I do think that the offense all in all is going to be better. But a big piece of it, if they can bring back Carson Kelly.
I will be shocked if they are able to add a quality bat in the offseason.
Okay.
Just because it would have to be through trade. It won't be through free agency. They don't have the finances to do it if they're bringing back Eovaldi and Yates. Those are their two main priorities. They'd like to bring back Heaney. We didn't mention him. I'd love to have him back. I think he's a great, not only a good pitcher, a versatile pitcher, and he's a great teammate. He really is, but I just don't think they're going to have the money for him. I wonder this with bringing back Nate Lowe, because it would be his last year until he hits free agency. It would make sense to kind of have your Elvis Andrus waiting in the background where they were able to go to Michael Young and say, Michael, we traded for a great shortstop and he's ready now and he's a shortstop. You're going to move to third base. If you let Corey Seager play shortstop one more year, which I know they are, and Nate Lowe plays first base and then he becomes a free agent and you have to let him go, then you can tell Corey, this is your hope. Walcott produced so well in AA/AAA in 2025 that you can say we have a 19-year-old shortstop who's a phenom, who's ready, and this is going to benefit everybody here in bringing up Walcott for the 2026 season, and you go to first base permanently /DH the rest of your career.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's move into the expressway. We got some Mike Likesit coming at you, plus NFL overreaction or reality next right here on The Fan.
Lamb is in a slot on the right this time. Snap to Prescott, looks right, now goes screen left. Dowdle with a block to the 10, to the 5. He's into the end zone, touchdown.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to do some NFL overreaction or reality. We got Mike Likesit coming up. But first, wanted to give you an update about the senior class for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Ed Tuttle Jones, Harvey Martin, Leroy Jordan have all advanced to the next group. But
how many advanced?
There are still 60 that have advanced.
So three?
Yes.
And Darren Woodson is not part of this.
Yes, yet. Darren Woodson is part of the contemporary Hall of Fame voting, but those three have all advanced.
Is Everson Walls, what is he on? We talked about Everson Walls like a few months ago. Is he still just on the regular one?
I'm glad that you brought that up. I missed that. Everson Walls has also advanced. Like this, I just saw the press release, so I'm trying to count up the names. So I believe in terms of like primarily Cowboys players, I see at least those four. So yeah. Everson Walls is on that list as well, and he is also advanced.
Harvey Martin is before our time. But if you talk to people that are, let's say, 60 or older, they are big fans of Harvey Martin was a Hall of Fame player.
So Harvey Martin is a player that feels like he's been particularly screwed by the NFL's decision not to acknowledge sacks sooner. Because I think it was Pro Football Reference, and if I'm wrong, I apologize for that, that went back and did the sack counts for players like before the NFL counted it as an official stat. And if you put Harvey Martin in that group, he's like way high up on the list. And you're like, oh, okay, well, that's probably a no-brainer Hall of Famer. But as it stands, the NFL doesn't count that. It doesn't register that. I think that would really help him out.
Yeah.
All right, now some NFL overreaction or reality. I will start with this overreaction or reality. The Cowboys will defeat the Pittsburgh Steelers. Overreaction or reality?
I think it's close to a coin flip, and I know that's not the answer you want. So I will say overreaction, but as we get to tomorrow, I have this as a 3-point game. The spread is 2.5.
Yep.
But I can see the Cowboys winning this game. In fact, I think you could argue out of their next three, this is the most winnable game. And maybe tonight we'll change our minds on the Atlanta Falcons.
I think that's a fair argument.
And that's the fourth game on their schedule coming up. So I think it's close to a coin flip. I lean towards Pittsburgh, but I can see somebody answering that as reality, and I would not fight back too hard.
Alec?
I'm going to go with reality. I'm with Mike here, and you guys kind of alluded to some of my thought processes in your conversation with Mickey Spagnuolo. It's up on the podcast page, by the way, if you want to go revisit that. But I do think that the game against the Colts for the Steelers gave me a little bit of hope.
Yes.
In the fact that maybe their offense they're going to score. They can definitely score with Justin Fields, but they do still have their weaknesses in the fact that they don't have a big play threat.
Yep.
It's just more of they have really good play design and they play to their talent strengths, which is still a lost art sometimes with some NFL teams in 2024, which astounds me. Hey, Mike McCarthy, shout out to him. But I do think that they can get stagnant enough to where I'm okay with saying that the Cowboys could win in a one-score game.
Now, we've got the Jets and the Vikings this weekend. I'm really fascinated to see y'all's thoughts. And then Frankel and Frankel, injury attorney text line, the Twitch, the YouTube. You enjoy and watch early morning football in England. So this is another...
I'll be close to England.
That is true. Not just for this specific game, though. I mean, like, you get your consistent, 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning starts, at least central time. Overreaction or reality, you enjoy having that extra time slot for the NFL.
Yes, I think most people do.
Okay.
I do think if you're a super duper NFL fan and also, let's say, a Christian, it messes with your church.
Sure. Unless your church has Saturday night service, always clutch.
That is true. But yeah, I would say that most NFL fans
like
love
it.
That okay. When they wake up, they can have their cup of coffee and a real game be on.
Alec?
I do enjoy it. And for exactly what Mike said, as I'm waking up, I can kind of watch it. I can get ready for my day, whether it is church, whether it is getting ready to go to the gym or hang out with some friends. It's like I can wake up to football, and more football spread out throughout the day is never a bad thing in my mind. Instead of just knowing, I'm waking up at 8 o'clock, I got to wait 4 more hours for kickoff for anything. Hey, I've got something right when I'm waking up, pretty much. I've got a pregame show to watch, NFL Network doing full coverage. Why not? I enjoy it.
From the YouTube, Duke 22, seriously, Sunday football all day long. All right, I like that. I like that. Overreaction or...
We'll talk about that tomorrow.
Okay. Overreaction or reality, the hell with the backup plan. The Browns should just go ahead and bench Deshaun Watson.
I think they should. It's over. Flacco was a better quarterback. Unfortunately, it was proven last year, now to this year. Deshaun Watson is arguably the worst starting quarterback in the NFL. I bring up Daniel Jones. I bring up, unfortunately, Trevor Lawrence.
Bo Nix will maybe get
right,
him.
But yeah, he's young. So young
yeah.
that you kind of – it might be best to bench Bo Nix and
fair.
Be like, hey, you're not ready for this
That's
level.
Fair.
And hopefully a year from now you are ready for this level. But I see no hope. I know that Derek Holland's a fan of the Browns. I don't really have many Browns fans in my life. There's just no way you could have hope with that guy at this point. He's destroyed all your hope.
I get it.
You know who you do get hope with? Jameis Winston. See, and
back, for what?
You're gonna at least get the locker room back.
That's probably true.
Like at the bare minimum, the guys love him, and even like the team reporters are like, I'd rather talk to Jameis Winston after a game than Deshaun Watson because he's at least gonna give us content. Like I don't care if they win, lose, or draw. At least we're gonna have stuff to talk about. But no, back when I used to host, yes, Peyton, I hosted before. When I was with Reggie on the nights every now and then, he would call Deshaun the freaky man. So, yes, I agree that it is a reality. You should go ahead and bench the freaky man.
Now, C.J. Stroud already has 5 career games with at least 300 yards passing, 2 touchdowns, and no interceptions. That stat line has been replicated by only 2 players in the first 20 games of their NFL career, Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes. So my NFL overreaction or reality question is, C.J. Stroud is already entrenched in the top tier of quarterbacks. Now, let's just say a tier includes multiple.
Saying.
Because if you're just like, well, Mahomes is the best and everybody else is different, I get that. But like, let's say it's Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, like whatever you think that construction looks like. C.J. Stroud has worked his way in there.
Yes. And here's the scary thing is I think most people believe there should be more growth with C.J. Stroud, as in he should get better than what he is after, I don't know, 18, 19 starts in the NFL.
Yep.
I don't know if he made every start last year, but I think he is. I would be scared to face him if I'm in the playoffs. And I know we're still 13 games away from him proving that he's still a playoff guy. And then
today is his birthday, by the way. He turns 23.
I do think he is a top tier quarterback. And I think the scary part is he could be a top 3 quarterback here pretty soon.
This is a reality. And it goes back to me, even in the playoff game, his most recent playoff game in his rookie season, I remember crunching some of the numbers there and seeing what he did as a rookie quarterback in the postseason. He put up some insane numbers when it comes to the analytics of things. Like I think it was his EPA per dropback was the highest ever for a rookie of any position in a postseason game. Like not just quarterbacks, any position for his EPA per dropback per snap. Like he was incredible. And that was the moment I knew win, lose, or draw in this postseason. If they win the Super Bowl or if they get bounced in the first round, CJ Stroud is special and he is going to be in that top 3 conversation at some point. It's just a matter of when, not if.
Now I want to run through a couple that you know, Bill Barnwell put out his, you know, fourth of the way through the season kind of ranking some of the big time awards. Overreaction or reality, Vikings head coach Kevin O'Connell is the clear front runner for coach of the year.
100%.
That's what I think too. That's Corey's guy. He's been talking about him forever.
I do think, Alec, that they are going to win 12 or more games.
Wow.
I mean, if I look at it the rest of the way, and I'm not looking at their schedule breaking it down, but where they're at right now, 4-0. So they have to win 8 more games. 8-5 looks very doable for that team.
Yeah.
So 8-5 gets them to 12. I think they're going to be the surprisingly shocking team in the NFL this year. We're like, how did they really do this? How did they go 13-4 or 12-5 this year?
It just takes me back to, I want to say it was an NBC writer for the 49ers when Darnold was there as the backup. He said that Darnold was what, like, the best pure thrower of the football that he had seen since Montana. And everybody flamed him.
Yes.
They eviscerated him because he was like the third string quarterback at the time. And sure enough, you're starting to see, you know, maybe not a Joe Montana comparison, but maybe it's not that insane that Sam Darnold knows how to throw the football pretty well when he's in the right situations. And sure, having Justin Jefferson makes things a little bit easier on everybody. But you talk about that. Kevin O'Connell has been fantastic. And the move to bring in Brian Flores, I keep going back to that.
Oh, yeah.
Because sure, the front office has a say in that, but the head coach has to cooperate with the guy and has to like the guy. So the staff he has put around himself has put him in a position to be lauded and to be praised in the way that he is right now. And it's all 100% deserved. I think that Mike is onto something there with the double digit wins.
Okay. Oh, man. I like it. You guys are spicy today. I'm enjoying this. All right. I'm going to throw another one out there as long as we're maybe making some bold predictions. Overreaction to reality, and I know he's questionable for the next game. He said he's going to play, but we'll see how that goes. Fred Warner is going to be the defensive player of the year. Now, consider this. Through 4 games, he has 27 tackles and a sack. Great. But also, he has 3 forced fumbles, 2 interceptions, including a pick 6. Damn. That's pretty impressive. So he's on pace for 12 forced fumbles and 8 interceptions. That feels unlikely.
I don't think he will. This gets to Deron Bland's going to have 46 interceptions last year. And he almost did. I guess you keep going, this isn't going to keep happening. And eventually it did slow down. But for like about 7 weeks, you're like, this is the most amazing thing ever.
Yes.
I would say fiction. Fred Warner is not going to win Defensive Player of the Year. In fact, I will go as far as to say he will not finish top 3 Defensive Player of the Year.
Will Hutchinson bonus Aiden Hutchinson finish top 3?
Aiden Hutchinson will win Defensive Player
of the Year. Oh, Alec, what say you?
I'm going to say overreaction because you don't think of many drop back coverage linebackers getting that kind of love. And Fred Warner is that, and he is the perfect example of that because I don't think he gets talked about enough. He can do everything. He can rush the passer. He can cover pretty much anybody on the field as well as depicted by his interception numbers. But you usually see the guys that get after the quarterback 99% of the time get that kind of love, or the guys that pick off the football 99% of the time. Fred Warner is almost too good at everything.
Yeah.
And he has a perfect mix of skill set to do everything to the point where his numbers won't be as high as other people that just focus on one job and one job only. So I do think an Aiden Hutchinson would finish higher than Fred Warner would. And I hate it. I really do. I think Fred Warner is the best defensive player in the NFL. I really do. And he's not going to get the love for it. Overreaction.
NFL overreaction or reality. Obviously, Cowboys fans are hoping that this will not happen. Derrick Henry already has 480 yards rushing and is averaging 6 yards per carry. Overreaction or reality, Derrick Henry will win Offensive Player of the Year. I think your mic's off.
Sorry, my fault. I will go with overreaction. I think this is very close. Offensive Player of the Year. I just think in today's world, and I know it's down right now, I think we have to understand this. this is not an exaggeration. Nobody practices.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. I have no clue what Broaddus gets out of watching Oxnard stuff, and he's way smarter than me, so he does. He can see things that 99% of us can't see. He's watching them walk, and he's like, I like the way that they walk. Yeah. I like the way that they jog. I like the way that they touch each other. It's really weird because there's no tackling. There, it's just, to me, looks like the most boring thing. I can't believe how little they do. And I do think running fast routes, sharp quarterback play is down right now because they try not to practice. The goal is to not practice.
Yes.
So they have been playing games now for 4 weeks. So I think at the end of the year, quarterbacks and wide receivers will get better. And that will mean somebody like Tyreek Hill's a bad example, but somebody like Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, CD Lamb, that they have their quarterback. They will put up tremendous numbers at wide receiver. They will get it. And I think Derrick Henry at his age could wear down as the season progresses.
I want this to be reality so bad.
Do you?
I really do. Because I love Derrick Henry for one and two. It's really like gratifying that I was so on top of this idea in the offseason that he's still good and still really good. And to see him, even though it came at our expense at one point, I don't want to think about that too much, but it did happen. It makes me happy. I've been a Derrick Henry fan forever, and this is just gratifying for me as a human, but I think it's going to be an overreaction. I'm looking at the Vegas odds right now, and pretty much every book does have Saquon Barkley a heavier favorite.
I get that. That's, I wonder about Justin Jefferson. I'm curious where he'll end up in this.
And if the Vikings keep playing the way that me and Mike are talking about, at least Jefferson's odds are just going to get better and better because he's going to get force fed. And that's the way you win games in Minnesota, no matter who the quarterback is, whether it's a Hall of Famer or if it is Sam Darnold, who, you know, we didn't know if he was going to be playing football last year. But you just force feed Jay Jettas, and that's going to be a good formula for you. And it's going to be a good formula for him to win the award at the end of the year. That's my pick, is Jay Jettas.
Can I give you one more?
Go ahead.
All right. NFL overreaction or reality. The NFC South will have not one, but two playoff teams.
Well, Houston, yes.
NFC South.
Oh, NFC South. Sorry.
No,
Atlanta.
The AFC South is the worst effing division.
Is Atlanta and Tampa your two choices?
Probably, because
Carolina's out.
New Orleans is falling off.
New Orleans.
Yeah.
Crap, I thought they were unbeatable after playing the Cowboys.
I did too. These last 2 weeks have been really sobering as a Cowboys fan, seeing like what's happened with New Orleans.
Only one's getting in our division. There is just, to me, it
I think you're right.
Does not look like. So one there. I do think multiple teams get in the North.
Minnesota and Detroit look like pretty good locks at this point.
Yeah, and I do think Green Bay, I know that they have started off slow. I still think they have a chance.
Okay.
I'll lean towards yes, because LA's not getting in. Seattle, very strong possibility. Yeah. San Francisco, I think so for sure.
Okay.
So if I give two there, that leaves one more wild card spot, right?
Yep. Assuming you don't, then that would probably bump the Packers then, or depending on if you think the Cardinals can turn it around.
I'll lean towards reality.
Okay. Alec, what say you?
I'm going to go with reality as well, and I feel like this could easily change because the Falcons need to get that defense figured out. If they can get that figured out, this is an easy reality because I did not think I was going to say this year. I really enjoy watching Atlanta Falcons football.
Wow.
I think their offense is a lot more fun. I'm not saying good, but a lot more fun than I expected it to be with some of those free agent pickups outside of Cousins. I was like, those are kind of just dudes. I don't really know, but they've stepped up. I like it. And the Bucks, they have no business having three wins right now. I'm just going to say they have no business being 3-1 right now. I don't care who they played. I thought that they just kind of made lateral moves this offseason.
Mayfield's playing pretty well.
He's playing really good for them, and I really enjoy watching them too because they have a pretty simple formula. Get the ball to your playmakers. It's that simple when you think about it. So he's doing that. He's doing it well, and like you said, the Saints are falling off of a cliff here. And, you know, I'm not saying that to be a hater. I think that the NFL kind of has the book on them now. After a few games, you saw it with the Eagles game. They kind of figured it out there. And it seems like this year, more so than ever, we're falling victim to the blueprint theory, if you will, that, you know, once you got a theory of how something works, everybody wants it to be exactly like the first. And that's the Kyle Shanahan tree right there for you. So people are starting to figure it out slowly but surely.
Excellent stuff, you guys. Appreciate it very much. That is NFL Overreaction or Reality. And right now, let's pivot to Mike Likes It.
Okay, so this is off my son at lunch today. Obviously, he has good free time during lunch.
Okay, Mike, and this is not just about your son. Your reenactments of people messaging you or calling you and everything is just tremendous off air.
So he's asking me about Giannis, Milwaukee Bucks. So we're doing a little bit of basketball talk here as everybody's starting training camp. And he's like, hey, how are the Mavericks supposed to sign Giannis in the offseason? And I'm like, what? What are you talking? But I just recently going on the Rangers trip because they know I love basketball. Somebody was asking me about Giannis. And I'm like, to the Mavericks.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, I just don't think that's possible. So I looked it up real quick because this was during a commercial break. And I was like, hey, I don't even think he's a free agent. We looked it up. And this year he makes $48.7 million, Giannis. Next year he makes $57.6 million. The next year he makes $62.2 million. And then in 27-28, which he probably will not take this, he makes $66.8 million on a player option. He will probably opt out after the 26-27 season to become a free agent. So, first of all, he's not a free agent.
Yep.
Second of all, there's just no way to trade for him at that number.
Unfortunately, yes.
Now, I will say this. You can do this, and this is only a hypothetical. The Mavericks have zero interest in this. If you could today, before this season started, if you were the Dallas Mavericks, nobody's feelings would be hurt. Everybody would agree to it. Would you rather have Giannis over Luka for the 2024-25 season on these Dallas Mavericks?
I am going to say no. That is a good question because there was definitely a time, especially when you factor in the defense, where you looked at Giannis and you're like, well, he's the better player. I'm not saying Luka's taken off defensively, but he's gotten better.
Okay.
I think I'm going to stick with Luka. I don't know if I'm going to be a minority opinion on that, but I'm going to stick with Luka.
Help me out. YouTube, I have you. It's open here in the studio. I can see YouTube chat, and then I don't see the other chat. You have it open, right?
Yep.
If you had to choose, and let's take out salary because it would work structure-wise, and I guess what? Neither team is thinking about this, but I'm just wondering if you could transplant Giannis onto the Mavericks, but you lose Luka, so you're taking superstar for superstar. Would the Mavericks be better this upcoming season with Giannis being their guy over Luka? They have very different games. They're both top five players in the NBA. Wherever you want to put them, they're going to be top five. I lean towards picking Giannis.
Okay. Just because you think he would fit better with the construction of this team?
Yes.
All right. And I know he's not like a traditional big, but oddly enough, the addition of Gafford and Lively makes me lean towards Luka a little bit more because size isn't an issue with this team anymore. Like, I know Giannis isn't going to be like posting up all game or anything.
Yeah. So
like
far
that.
On YouTube, we have White Letter X and Jay Rich both saying, I take Luka. So it's 2-0 Luka on here.
From the 214, nope, stick with Luka. From the 682, nope, stick with Luka. From another 214, nope, stick with Luka. Go Mavs.
I don't think this is an easy answer. I think if you're, maybe it is an easy answer for you if you're listening. It sounds like most people are sticking with Luka. Is I lean towards the length, the defense, the overall. I have Kyrie and Clay as my guards now.
Okay. Yeah.
And then now I have PJ and Giannis as my forwards, and then I would have you the combo center, however they do it. I'm going to say Lively starts, and then Gafford comes off the bench.
And it was really weird because that made a lot of waves for some people, I think, at the beginning of the week. And you're like, I mean, he did start a lot last season as well. And they use them kind of interchangeably or pretty equal in a lot of games.
So far, Mitch Mitchell, if that's your real name, very cool. he's the only one that agrees with me. And I do not think this is a slam dunk. I think this is very tough. But Luka, because he lacks defense, because he's such an offensive weapon, if I felt like the Mavericks lacked offense, I would want Luka. In fact, I think Luka and Damian Lillard would be a horrible match.
Yeah.
Together.
Okay.
I still think they'd win 50 games because that's how good Luka is. And then as a second tier superstar, I think that's where Damian Lillard is. So they'd still be a very good team in Milwaukee. The other thing too is, I'm going to throw this out. Already Luka's hurt. Now, I need to go back and look at Giannis's career more. I know he's missed games because of injury, but it feels like we are going to deal with Luka maybe not playing every day the rest of his life. And he will play. And he's going to play great. I love Luka. I have a lot of money invested in Luka.
Yeah, you do.
But, and I have, I don't even think I have a Giannis rookie card, to be honest. If I do, I think one. Huh. And I'm not saying that I dislike him. I really like his game. He's a horrible free throw shooter. He is a horrible three-point shooter. So there's things you have to deal with Giannis. He is not the complete basketball player. So I understand that. But anyways, I wanted to bring this up. Alec, did you have your answer already or did I miss it?
I'm kind of with Kevin. Yeah. I think you guys hit all the points there that you mentioned. The three-point shooting, that's something that I don't want to lose out on. Your free throw shooting from Luka already is a topic of conversation, so that's a lateral move, if not a worse move, which is surprising to say. But I wouldn't be mad at it. Like, I wouldn't hate it. It's just, I think I'm fine with what I've got now. And defensively, obviously, you always want to get better. And you talk about apples to apples here with Giannis and Luka. There is a big difference there, a big disparity, but it's not anything that would change my mind.
Okay, so I have this question for Kevin. Okay. Kevin, last year you felt like at the trade deadline when the Mavericks got Gafford, and I don't know if you guys talked about this last week. I know you talked a little bit about Derek Lively shooting, his stretching the floor, hopefully this second year of his career. I disagreed with you, and the Mavericks decided not to do it last year, but I'm going to throw this at you as I'm not opposed to it if Derek Lively can stretch the floor.
Are you going
to
put him on the floor at the same time?
Yes. So a little bit of maybe the, hey, protecting the rim. If you do have Clay and Kyrie and Luka out there, if Derek Lively can hit 33%, that's not a high percentage in the NBA, and he will be left wide open. 33% of his corner threes, because I don't think they're going to ask him to shoot anywhere else.
Probably not.
I can play both of those guys on the court at the same time. Not a lot, but can you imagine if it's Gafford and Lively?
Can you give me 10 minutes a game?
Yeah, so at stretches, here and there, if you want to play, I'm not saying you're starting lineup, but if you want to play Clay and Luka and Kyrie together, if I have Gafford and Lively both out there, I think it makes it, I don't know, maybe I'm totally wrong on this, easier to get away with those three guys playing defense. And Clay might be better than we all think.
Look, obviously, I support that. I wanted to start to break it out last year. I think you can realistically get 10 minutes out of those pairing on the court in a game at the same time.
I agree with you if, let's say when Gafford sets the pick and he rolls, that Lively isn't near the basket too.
Sure.
If he's in the corner, now you're asking the guy guarding Lively, do you want to help on the lob drive or do you want to stick to Lively? And I'm sure the answer is I'm going to help and make Derek Lively prove he can hit this open three. And I'll rotate off of that pass.
Yeah.
But it's going to be interesting to see Derek Lively, how quickly he can be a 33, like get three a game, maybe two a game, probably two a game.
Two a game. If he hits three a game.
No, not hit. Like take.
Oh, take. Okay.
Take two to three a game.
Okay, yeah. I was going to say, if he's hitting three a game, man, we got a whole different dynamic.
No, but yeah, three. And then he'd be an all-star.
Yeah. Like,
watch out, Wemby. You're in trouble for the center position because we got Jokic and Derek Lively. By the way, for another time, another topic. Isn't it going to be tough? And I know they don't go strictly on center, but if Jokic is in the West forever and Wimby's in the West forever, can Lively ever make an all-star team? That's another question for another day. And sometimes it just ends up being that way. Probably Derek Harper might have deserved an all-star game or two. But when you have Magic Johnson and John Stockton, it's a little bit tough to make the all-star team.
That is a very fair point. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. There's some Mike Likes It for you right there. Coming up next, Corey is out, so no C block. He'll be back tomorrow, though. So we will talk with Steelers beat reporter from DK Pittsburgh Sports, Chris Halleck, right here on 105 Through the Fan.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.